Hi, thanks for joining us this morning. I'm Christy Mernon, and my guest is Cody Smith, and he is here to tell us his story and talk about Serenity Star, which is a, how would you define Serenity Star? It's 2 hours from San Antonio in Smithville, Texas, a lovely town on the Colorado River.
Absolutely. I will not use the word rehab for Serenity Star. Serenity Star is more of a recovery community, if you will. I mean, it's full of people that get what it is to be a addict or an alcoholic. And, you know, if I had to say something about Serenity Star, I won't say that they get it 100% of what it is to be an addict or an alcoholic living in recovery, because I don't think it's something that you can ever just get or figure out. But they've probably got the best grasp on it that you can find anywhere. I've been trying at this thing for, you know, the better part of 15 years now. I got serious about it about 10 years ago, about trying to get help and trying to reach out. And until I got there, like I had no idea of what it is, you know, the problem that I faced and how to deal with it, life on life's terms. And they showed me.
So that is Serenity Star. There's a ranch at Serenity Star Recovery, and then there's the Comfort Cafe Smithville.
The Comfort Cafe is the heartbeat of Serenity Star, for lack of a better word. Serenity Star is 100% donation-based, a recovery community, and there's no government funding involved. It's self-sustaining, essentially. They ask nothing of anybody that goes there. Most of the time when we show up on their doorstep, you know, we're beaten and broken, and, you know, we're just looking for a place to go and a place to figure it out. And it's for people that have been through the ringer, people that are serious about their recovery and that have just have no other options, you know, people that want a better life and have exhausted everything else. So a lot of times when people come in, they have nothing to offer, and you won't be turned away. If your family, or if you have means to help out and to help contribute, because, I mean, it's not for free. You know, there is cost in housing men and women, and, you know, then that's all the more better.
Mm-hmm.
But they won't turn anyone away. And, you know, when I showed up there in January of 2016, I was just like everybody else. I was broken, and I was tired and worn out, and they took me in and taught me how to live. And really, they taught me how to love and to love myself, which is the most important part of it. One of the most important aspects of recovery, and sustainable recovery nonetheless.
Well, Cody, you know, and we'll get to how you got to Serenity Star.
Absolutely.
But first, let me ask, you know, about your problem. Like, what kind of problem did you have, an addiction?
It was pretty, you know, obvious at a young age for me and for my family. You know, it started in high school. I guess I was just the type that I never wanted the party to end, so to speak. And, you know, alcohol and drugs impacted my life very early on. And it was clear to everybody except myself. I didn't want to admit to it. And it wasn't until my early 20s that I really started to look at my life and look at what I was doing, the road I was going down, and start to realize, you know, maybe everybody else is right. And I was starting to get tired of, you know, just the same old, and, you know, started to want to make a change. And I hate to say it, you know, I've tried numerous recoveries. I've, you know, been in and out of the system. And even then, I still didn't want to look at it or admit that I had a problem. But, you know, it takes what it takes sometimes. And until I got to Serenity Star, I had no length of sobriety to speak of whatsoever. I think the most amount of time that I ever put together was 60 days. And even then, it was just white-knuckling it, going through the motions, and really trying to appease everybody else. So, yeah, I guess, you know, I take the long way around in everything I do. And instead of taking someone else's advice, you know, I got to find out for myself. And that rings true for pretty much all alcoholics and addicts, and, you know,
I think most people, you
know,
sometimes.
People in general,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
You know, we have to find out for ourselves. And, you know, looking back on it all now, I wouldn't change a minute of it, you know, because it made me who I am today, I wouldn't be sitting here in front of you, Chrissy. Mm-hmm.
It got you. Yeah, that's true. It's one of those nexus. It got you to today.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And, you know, I'm a firm believer in everything is in divine order. It's not for me to know right now. And, but nonetheless, you know, I hate to say it, you know, but I hurt a lot of people along the way. I did a lot of damage to myself, and it's not something I'm proud of, but it's funny because it's not something I'm ashamed of anymore. I was for the longest time, and I think that was part of the thing that kept me sick for so long. You know, it was because of all the shame and guilt that I carried around on a daily basis, and I didn't know how to deal with it other than to use. Mm-hmm. And it's a vicious cycle. It really is. I know it's kind of cliche to say, but that's exactly what it is. It's history repeats itself over and over.
So what do you think alcohol and drugs were doing for you when you were at a point where your addiction said you needed them?
All they were doing for me, you know, for the longest time was just numbing me and keeping me shut off from things that I needed to look at, but just didn't want to. A lot of people told me, you know, if they could only record me while I was using or when I was on a bender, like what I looked like, you know, would maybe be enough to get me to stop. And, you know, I kind of use that as, you know, I didn't want to look at that. If you did have a picture of me or you had video footage of me using or getting high or getting drunk, there is no way you're going to get me to look at that footage. I wouldn't do it. So that's pretty much how my life was. I didn't want to look at anything. You know, today I'll tell you what, one of the biggest awakenings that I had was I'm the father of a little girl, beautiful little girl. She is my everything, and it's a beautiful thing. Like she taught me what love is.
Mm-hmm.
So she is my everything, but it was a huge realization for me one day when I figured out that, you know, this girl that I love so much and would do anything for is taking a backseat to my addiction. When I realized that, like, it was just an epiphany, I guess you will, as sad as that sounds, like, you know, that should have been something that I realized from day one, but it takes what it takes, and I realized it when I did. So that's when I started realizing the gravity of the situation, that when she was born, I thought she would be enough to keep me, you know, on the up and up, but, you know, the truth is she wasn't, and, you know, I had to put actions in place, and so I started doing that, you know, like about 2 years into her being, I started to really get serious about it. And I was on a bender one day, or I don't even know, I was in a bad spot. And I have a childhood friend that I love very dearly. His name is Roy Reyna. And he, you know, started going through the motions trying to get me to Serenity Star. And finally I gave in and I allowed him to take me.
So what was he saying to you, and how did he know about it? You know, because I was wondering how you found out about Serenity Star.
I found out about Serenity Star through Roy. He had actually been there before me, and they helped him change his life as well. He had gone before, and he carried the message to me about this place and what they did for him. And, you know, I'm forever grateful to him as well, because he didn't give up on me either. So I saw what it did for him, and, you know, finally one day when I had enough, you know, he'd been working on me for a couple weeks, and I just wasn't ready. And finally when I hit that bottom that I've hit so many times before, you know, I threw my hands in the air, and he was there just like he said he would be. And he picked me up and drove me 2 hours away and dropped me off at Serenity Star. And when I came to the realization that I was stuck, you know, 2 hours away from home, I was a little upset at first, you know, that even though I had made the decision to go myself, but once the reality set in, I was like, man, where am I and what am I doing here?
Mm-hmm. So you could either stay or leave, right? Because nobody's holding you there.
No, absolutely not. And if you don't want to be there, they don't want you there. I mean, that's just how it is. If you get out of it what you put into it, and you know, I was 2 hours away from home, and that's one of the things that saved my life. But I tell you what, once Roy had left, and, you know, I was there, you know, at first amongst a bunch of strangers, you know, like a small panic set in, and But it was really nothing that I hadn't been through before. You know, I've been to treatment, I've tried it. But now the only difference was I couldn't catch a bus home. You know, I had nothing in my pocket, so I was there. But I tell you what, when they took me to the ranch, you know, I'll never forget this moment. They have a 10-acre ranch there, and everything on this ranch is impacted by the residents there. You know, they've built everything. Everybody leaves a footprint there, is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I show up at this ranch house on 10 acres in Smithville, Texas, not knowing what I'm going to do with myself. I just know that I'm there. So I walk into the ranch house, and the first thing I smell is this wood-burning stove that they have there. It's in January. It's cold. And I walk in, and I smell this wood-burning stove, and for just a second, my mind is at peace. It was enough to keep me there for that day.
Mm-hmm.
It kept me calm, and I kind of, you know, had a brief thought of, okay, everything's going to be all right. I don't know if it was just like a childhood memory of going hunting or camping or whatever. Whatever it was, it doesn't matter. It was enough for that day. And that's how it happens there. If you can look at it and recognize certain things, you know, the place is so full of miracles. So that was a miracle for that day. It kept me there, kept me sober one more day. And, you know, just coming out of this fog, it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
So every day I had to look for things like that, for reasons to stay, reasons not to panic and leave like I'd done so many times before.
What guidance do people there give you, or do they?
Absolutely. So it's not your traditional recovery center, rehab. I do not like that word, but everybody there has gone before you. There's people there that have been in the program for years. It's been there since 2009. There's all your peers there. There's nobody there with the title, like an LCDC. There's nobody there with the college degree. Everybody that walks you through this journey is people that have been in the program, people that have gone before you that are just like you. And, you know, it's amazing to see how sustainable they are and, you know, the knowledge that they have just about living a sustainable life in recovery. With everybody's an equal there. You know, everybody has a role to play. And, you know, one of my peers when I got there had been in the program for 3 years there at Serenity Star. And he was one of the many there that helped save my life. His name's Tut. And so I don't know. It's hard to wrap your head around unless you go there and check it out. But it's a recovery community where everybody teaches you some kind of lesson, I guess you could say. It is a trip, but they have a good thing going on there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, inside my first week there, of course, the fog starts to lift. And, you know, such is life. You know, you're not going to agree with everybody all 100% of the time. And I was having a moment one day, and it was all around a pack of cigarettes. And I had made up my mind right then and there. I was leaving and I was going home, and nobody was going to tell me anything. And there's a lady there that I love very dearly. Her name is Heather, and she saved my life that day. And it came in the most unusual form, because she is known for telling you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And that's exactly what she did that day. And it really got under my skin, and I threw a fit, and I was leaving, and I wanted a phone, and they didn't hold back. If I wanted to leave, that was my conscious decision. So I called home, I called my girlfriend, and I told her to come pick me up, which she wasn't going to do.
She said no?
And she said no, absolutely not. And but what she did, she planted a seed, and she made me think about where I was. You know, my name is Cody Smith, and she told me, she said, Cody, have you thought about where you are, where you ended up? You're in Smithville, Texas. And it's not much, but, you know, it was enough to kind of to make me pause for a second. And she says, you're at Serenity Star. And my daughter's name is Kaya Serenity.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, man, you know, so that was another miracle that day that kept me there. And, you know, this isn't new to any recovery I've been in. There's an adage or a saying that they usually put on the doors when you're trying to leave. It says, don't leave before the miracle happens. And I really don't think that it could be any more true anywhere else other than Serenity Star. Because, you know, over the 6 months that I was there, you know, that's I saw almost on a daily basis. And that's another thing that I didn't mention. It's a long-term recovery. It's not a 28-day or a 90-day program, not to discount or, you know, discredit any people that are doing that now. You know, recovery is recovery. You can get it where you can get it. It's all the better for you. I just happened to find it here. And but this is a long-term program, 6 months to multiple years.
Because isn't recovery a long-term deal?
I think it's funny sometimes, and again, I don't want to discount or discredit anything, but when I hear people say that, you know, I used to be an addict or I used to be an alcoholic, but now I'm not, that could not be any further from the truth.
Because
I will always be an addict or an alcoholic for as long as I live.
But you're recovered.
Yeah, I know how to deal with life. Well, I'm always learning, you know, life on life's terms is what we say. You know, there's going to be things that come up every day, every single day. That's life. Deal with it.
That where you're thinking, if only I could escape this by, I mean, do you feel like that every day? You know, that there's
not something, every day.
Or because you have been through a long-term recovery, you're better at dealing with, you know, all the crappy things that happen in our lives.
Yeah. And I mean, of course, that's always our quickest avenue away from reality is just to pick up and not deal with it or look at it. And, you know, that's one thing I've learned, how to pause. It's a huge tool that they have taught me, just how to pause. And, you know, when you don't know what to do, sometimes it's best just to do nothing. Just sit with yourself and roll it around a little bit or revisit it instead of, you know, going off the deep end, which is what most of us do most of the time, because we don't want to look at something and we want that instant gratification.
We want to escape, but, you know, isn't it there when we come back from wherever you go when you escape?
Yeah, most certainly. It took me 16 years to learn that, but it definitely is. And so I will always be an addict and alcoholic living in recovery. But, you know, I'm a grateful addict and I'm a grateful alcoholic. I'm proud of who I am today. And you know what it boils down to is knowing who you are and doing the next right thing. And always looking to help somebody out, you know, in recovery or not. You know, it's all about trying to be a better person than you were yesterday. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I strive for. It's not always easy because I'm definitely not perfect and I have my faults, but I'm trying.
You're working on it. Our guest this morning, Cody Smith, and he's here to talk about Serenity Star. It's a recovery community in Smithville, Texas. Remember, Cody Smith. That is neat how the things line up. You think the universe is working on you,
it's
don't you?
Divine order, for sure. Yeah.
So there you are for a week, and you're like, okay, I'm getting out of here. And your girlfriend says, no, you're not. And you come to the realization that you're not. So, you know, what happens next? Go through, because you said you were there for 6 months.
So, as I said before, the heartbeat of Serenity Star is they have a cafe, and it's called the Comfort Cafe. It's only open 3 days a week. It's 8 to 3, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I was blessed with the opportunity to work in the cafe as a server. And, you know, the Comfort Cafe makes up for maybe a third of what it costs for this whole operation. You know, what they bring in there, it's 100% donation based. There's no prices on the menu. You pay what your heart tells you to, right? So people come in, a lot of times they know who we are, and then there's a lot of times they don't know what the Comfort Cafe is, and they're in awe that we don't have any prices on the menu, and they're taken aback. So for whatever reason, Terry Lopez and Rosie Standing Bear are the two founders of Serenity Star. They saw something in me and gave me the privilege and a gift of working in the cafe and being a server there. And it was a beautiful thing. It was, go figure, like one of the high points of my life, because they talk about spiritual awakenings in recovery. And, you know, I definitely got my recovery in that cafe. It was a beautiful thing. I remember, like, the first week that I got to wait tables there, a couple came in, and Smithville is very easy to pass through. There's nothing there. I mean, there is, but there isn't. It's just
it is a small town.
Small town.
A lovely small town.
Yeah, it's wonderful, but it's easily missed. And a couple came in, and you know, I gave them a brief rundown about what we were and who we are. You know, I tell them everybody that you see here from the front of the house to the back of the house, we're all addicts and alcoholics in recovery, and you know, this is one of the ways that we keep everything going is through this cafe. And I told them my name, and I asked them how they, you know, what brought them there. And they said they were just passing through and they were just hungry and they don't know why they stopped. They just stopped. They just had a feeling and something told them to stop there. And I told the couple my name, and the wife gave me a weird look, and I didn't really think anything of it. And I went to go get their drinks for them, and I came back, and the wife told me, she said, you know, we don't know why we stopped here, but we stopped here. And when you told us your name, like it all made sense. And I said, really, why is that? And they said, because a year ago, we lost our son to a heroin overdose, and his name was Cody. So, like, I guess for that brief moment, I was closure for them, but it was just an amazing moment. Like to be there. And you know, the dad was this huge guy. He was, I don't know, 6'4", 6'5", and he was just sitting there crying at the table. And just for me to be there at that point in time, you know, let me know I was in the right place. So again, another miracle or another reason for being where I was at that time. So it was very clear early on that, you know, I wasn't just going through the motions. I was where I needed to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, what did you said, Cody, that you had been through rehab and programs and this and that. You know, what was it? And you talk about your daughter that, you know, that really for your daughter, you wanted to be better. So what was it that made you successful? You know, and I realize you said that you're always an addict.
Yeah.
So there's always that out there that, you know, you have to keep at bay.
Yeah.
But what was it that made you successful? And I think as a society, we want answers like, how did you do it this time?
Yeah. So I have a pretty good answer for that, you know, because I've thought about it quite a bit. And for me, what it was surrender. Like I'm not talking about surrendering to, I just had to surrender and just accept the fact, you know, that I'm not in control. I had to take my hands off the wheel. I know I said it a few minutes ago that, you know, my daughter is my everything. So one of my first weeks there, they asked me, you know, because you can have family come and see you on the weekends. And so it was my first week there, and I was still a mess. And of course, I didn't think I was a mess, but everybody else can see from the outside. And things were a lot more evident to them than they were to me at the time. And, you know, the lights were still coming on, and they asked me, you know, what if we put a pause on seeing your family this week, and let's go another week, and then your family can come up. And I lost it because nobody's going to tell me I can't see my family. And, of course, you know, a very close friend of mine up there, Ryan, you know, put it into perspective for me and told me, well, there is somebody that can tell you can't see your family, and that's the judge. And, you know, he was right, you know, as much as I didn't want to admit. So right then and there, I, you know, even if it was only for a week or 2 weeks, you know, I had to surrender, you know, my most loved person in the whole world, my daughter. You know, I'd never been more than a day or two without seeing her. So that was my first, I guess, surrender piece is the best way to put it. You know, it was the first thing I said, all right, you know, I got to take this suggestion and realize that I'm not in control, and listen to the ones that have gone before. And I had to apply that almost on a daily basis. You know, everything there is done for a reason. They call it ish time. And that was one of the hardest things to get used to, because any place that I've ever been, you were told where to be and knew what was going to happen at a certain time every day. And that could not be further from the case here. Everything is done on ish time.
Like five-ish, six-ish?
Five-ish, six-ish.
Ish.
We'll ish get time. To it when we get to it.
Okay.
And, you know, for an addict, that's hard because you want what you want when you want it. And they don't do it like that there. They teach you how to sit with yourself, how to be with yourself, and to be comfortable being in your own skin. And that's a big thing to me. That's one of the biggest things that I learned there, was being comfortable in my own skin, because you could not get me to sit still when I first got there, when I first started getting, when the lights started coming on, you know. And that's how it is. For so many years, we're numbed and we're miserable. And when it all boils down, to me, is I don't like myself as a person. So why am I going to sit with myself and just be? Because I don't like who I am. You know, I don't like that feeling. So that's something they teach you there. And it's one of the biggest things is self-love, you know. Knowing, yeah, I did all these things in my past, you know, and I'm not happy with who I am right now, but it's all right. You know, and like I can sit here today and tell you, you know, I love myself. I used to make a joke when I was younger, like, I'm the coolest guy I know. Well, that was stupid because I wasn't, you know. It was just my ego talking and I was putting on a front for everybody. But today I can sit here and tell you, you know, I'm a good person. And, you know, I did some wrong, but I'm all right with it and I love myself. We always say, you know, I'm a good person who's done some bad things, made some poor choices. And they gave me that. They gifted me with the lessons on how to look at things, you know, and I have faults every day. You know, being in traffic will point that out very clearly, you know, but I can recognize it. You know, I can take a look at things today that I, you know, why did I do this? What caused me to feel this way? And that's something I think that not everybody, you know, addict, alcoholic or not, a normal person, you know, I think everybody should be able to do that and kind of, you know, get to know themselves a little better. You know, why did I react this way? Why do I feel this way? What made me cry just now when Chrissy asked me this question, you know? Because ultimately we know ourselves better than anyone, but do we really? That's the thing.
Good point. You know what? You are just fascinating to talk to, but we only have 30 minutes, and so we're out of time here. And you told me before we started that Serenity Star will always have a special place in your heart, and you have gratitude forever for them. And so you're doing a clothing line that some of your proceeds go to for the rest of your life, whatever you make off of it. So tell me about that, and then how people can help Serenity Star, or if people need help, how they can get to Serenity Star.
Right on. Well, so Serenity Star never asked me for anything, and they don't expect anything from me, just to live a good life and be a better person. And that's what I want to do. And, you know, I'll forever be indebted to them, even though they don't feel the same way. So what I'm trying to do is start a clothing line that kind of puts positive energy into the universe and just good things out there. There's too much negativity in the world. So I am creating a clothing line called Hard Way Hearts. And the reason I'm calling it that is, you know, just I learned the hard way. And I always take the long way around, but here I am today, you know, and I want to put those good vibes out into the universe. And you can find me at Hard Way Hearts on Facebook. It's just getting started, but, you know, I have some of my designs out there for sale. And forever, as you said, you know, part of the proceeds are going to go to Serenity Star. And, you know, I would love y'all's help in trying to get this started. Let's do it together. You can go Hard Way Hearts on Facebook and learn more about me. Serenity Star, if you need help, or you would like to make a contribution, it's serenitystar.org. You can email Terry and Rosie, let them know your situation, what's going on with you, and they will get back to you. And there's beds available. It's a first-come, first-serve basis, but they will get back to you. And if they can't get you in right away, they will find something for you in the meantime. And again, this is all, they do this all on a donation basis. There's no government funding involved whatsoever. It's a nonprofit organization, so anything helps. And during tax season, I don't think there's a better cause or a better place you could relocate some money. And again, if you know anybody that needs help, addiction touches everybody, especially today. Everybody knows somebody that's been through it, and I don't think there's anybody that doesn't. So if someone is wanting help and is willing to get some sustainable recovery, Serenity Star is definitely the place to go.
All right. And if you're in Smithville, Texas, just happen to be driving through, stop at the Comfort Cafe.
The Comfort Cafe. Absolutely. I always say it's more of a, it's the Comfort Cafe for sure, but it's like elevated comfort food. It's It's not a greasy spoon diner. It is amazing. And you'll feel it as soon as you walk in the door. You will feel it.
Cody Smith, thank you.
Thank you for your time.